I'm happy now to welcome Nina Simons. She's the co-founder of Bioneers, and she will be co-facilitating a retreat called Cultivating Women's Leadership. It's happening for about a week this coming July. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Well, thanks, Mary Charlotte. Good to be here.
So, women's leadership. What is special about women's leadership?
Well, I have a rather controversial opinion about this, which is that I think that women are particularly well-equipped to respond to the leadership calls of this particular time on Earth. I think that that's due to a very complex combination of factors having to do with both nature and nurture. So both how we're biologically different than men, and also how our culture and our cultural legacy has actually trained us to be relationally attuned in certain ways. In some ways, I think that this moment is really ripe for women's leadership, and we happen to be fortunate enough to live at a time when we have a great deal more opportunity in this country than we've probably ever had before. But also, I think that women and men share an opportunity to redefine leadership. And what I mean by that is that the model that we've inherited tends to be one that most women I know to don't aspire to.
What does that model look like that we've inherited?
Well, I think our inherited model of leadership is a solo model. I think that it tends to be self-isolating. It tends to include self-sacrifice. And it tends to involve leadership through aggression or domination.
And so the kind of alpha baboon style.
Well, it's certainly a sort of, quote, masculine model. And I use the quotes because I don't believe that that's the authentic masculine or the healthy masculine. But I do think that's the model that we've grown up seeing.
And so what does the feminine or female model of leadership, as it's probably being cultivated in, the last century or so, what does that look like?
Well, rather than talk about a female model, I would prefer to go for an integrated model, because the leadership that I want really gives me an opportunity to draw from the full range of human capacities at any moment, so that regardless of whether I happen to be in a women's body or a man's body, I have this range of capabilities to select from. So I think that's part of the leadership model that we are co-creating, but I also think that women are particularly leading right now in defining a kind of leadership that is principally sourced from what we care most deeply about, from the heart. So in a sense, it's led from the heart rather than the mind. It integrates our intellect, if we're lucky, as well as our physical capacity and our intuition. But I think one of our greatest sources of strength is our passion and what we really, what we care most deeply about, and therefore what we're most motivated to defend and protect and transform.
One of the insights that I had as a young adult getting out of college and going into the world was that the separation between heart and mind, or between intellect and emotions, was a false one in the first place, and that if you tried to do things from your head, it just didn't work very well, but if you tried to do things from a kind of more integrated place, it would engage your kind of ethical and moral and personal and passionate and intellectual sensibilities kind of all at the same time.
Well, I couldn't agree more. And for me, what you're describing, it really speaks to a lot of what motivated me to co-found Bioneers 20 years ago in the first place, was the recognition that we live in a culture that actually has us habituated to a lot of false separations.
Right.
And that the more we can dissolve those false separations, actually the more congruent and joyful and purposeful life we can live.
So, again, when you are leading an organization, there you are, co-founder of Bioneers, and you have all sorts of challenges that you've been facing for, year after year, running an organization isn't easy. What does the new paradigm of leadership on the ground, use specific examples, look like?
Well, I think it involves a balance of speaking and listening. To be specific, I think that, the old model of leadership was more about thinking we know the answers and then imposing them on either an organization or the world. And I think the new model involves at least equal parts, if not perhaps even more listening than speaking. So I think that it's a conscious dance between being focused and intentional in our actions and also being receptive and experiential and learning from what works and what doesn't work. So, you know, both with Bioneers and with Cultivating Women's Leadership, with Cultivating Women's Leadership specifically, we have a 5-day retreat where I have a colleague, Toby Hertzlick, who many folks in Santa Fe may have encountered. She's been in town a long time and done a lot of leadership work and also facilitation work. And we've got a program we've developed, but we're prepared to change it on a dime, depending on what comes up in the moment from the women who are there. And we listen very, very closely for the feedback and evaluation input that we get at the end of every training. And so we are constantly fine-tuning and constantly adjusting. And I think that's what makes it really alive. And I think Bioneers is similar.
When you do these workshops, what kinds of issues are people bringing? What kind of questions are people bringing to this question of cultivating women's leadership?
Well, I think people bring a whole host of questions. And, you know, part of what we put out and what attracts women to want to take the training is that we are clear in saying part of our purpose is to help every woman who comes to clarify her own sense of purpose or assignment or calling in the world. Another part of our purpose is to attract diverse women, diverse across age and ethnicity and issue area, so that we can all exercise our capacity to connect across differences, because that's another false separation that our culture really imposes.
Right.
So everybody comes with big questions about leadership. When we first started offering the training, women would call us and they'd say, well, I'd love to go in deep with a group of juicy, committed, smart women, but I'm not so sure about this leadership thing. And so we realized, you know, one of the first things we do is to really explore what does leadership mean and what are both our dreams and our fears about women moving more into leadership.
Well, what does leadership mean?
Well, I think leadership means the capacity to motivate others to care about the issues that you see as being really important to transform in the world. And so that can have many, many different shapes. I mean, I think part of this new model of leadership is that it's as diverse as the people who practice it. So there are leaders who are artists, and there are leaders who are organizers, and there are leaders who are community builders, and leaders who are parents and moms and families, you know, and teachers and health practitioners. So I think it's really a question of, you know, for me, leadership is about staying connected to your inner voice, to your full host of information, which, as you were saying earlier, really includes the wisdom of our bodies, minds, hearts, and spirits, integrated in a solid, intentional way, and then acting from a sense of purpose.
What are some of the fears that come up, particularly for women?
Well, there are many. I think, you know, some of the obvious fears are of being a target, of women's competition, of being labeled with the B word. You know, as soon as we're assertive, we have a whole host of
beautiful, bright, brilliant
societal expectations, like a female dog, you know. And so we all have a fear. We all want to be liked on some level. And I think we all have fears of becoming targets, and for a lot of good reasons.
So when people come in with various fears about being labeled or about competition and so on, and there they are in a group of other women, you know, not too big a group, but, you know, bigger than you probably have in your daily life or your family, what do you do? Like, what does it look like?
Well, a lot of what we do is that we feel that part of what strengthens women is to look at our shadow material. So that involves really facing what are the fears that we have? What is some of the conditioning that we have? What are the blind spots that we may have as women who are gaining the benefit of having white skin in the world, in a world that is racially biased? You know, what are the challenges that women of color are facing in this culture? So we create a very safe space to actually talk about those things. And part of what we really believe is that it's only by unearthing and really exploring and really accepting the shadow material that we can actually walk forward in a whole and integrated way. So we explore the fears. We explore them together. And a lot of what we find is women is that often, you know, one of our purposes in doing this training is to offer the women who come a really deep experience in their bodies of what it's like to be in a group of 20 women who are authentically and purposefully aligned on behalf of each other's best emergence. And few, if any, of us have had that experience. And it's quite life-changing, I think, when you do have it. So a lot of what we do is really create the conditions for all that to be able to happen. And some of it's through hearing each other's stories. Some of it's through practicing how we show up in the world and practicing particular skills and practices having to do with facing controversy or difficult conversations or assessing our life balance. You know, so we practice and we work through a whole lot of literal practical tools that we can all use both for ourselves and each other, and that we can use beyond the retreat going forward, because part of our premise is really that leadership is a lifelong process, and I hope I'm cultivating my own until the day I die.
I think one of the things that's difficult in the world in which we live, the United States has a kind of... we're imposing our will on the rest of the world attitude, and there that permeates the sort of corporate culture of many of our larger corporations, certainly not the more progressive ones. But when you have this very kind of old world, call it male-dominated, call it patriarchal and perhaps patronizing corporate and political structure, and then women go on with women's leadership retreat, you know, how do you infiltrate this whole other world, which is the world that really needs to be influenced by a more, what would you call it, kind of systemic, ecosystem-oriented attitude?
Well, that's a great question, and I actually think that we are alive at a very rare moment of opportunity where those things are in the process of changing already. And I think part of the answer that we really look at is that we can't do it alone. We need each other. And actually, one of the big ahas for me that really led to doing this work was the recognition that the more we can create ongoing, meaningful connections in relationships that I call mutual mentorship with other women, regardless of different ages, different ethnicities, doesn't matter. We all have a lot to learn from each other. Right? The more that we can do that, the more we can strengthen our own capacity to take the stands and make the changes that are needed. Because I think, you know, it's a both-and world. On the one hand, yes, all those biases exist and they're hard to get through. And at the same time, there's more receptivity. I'm sure you've seen, Mary Charlotte, like there were a slew of articles about how the economic meltdown on Wall Street might not have happened if there'd been more women leaders on Wall Street.
No doubt. I have a cousin who worked for AIG, and after the big meltdown, he quit. And he came through Santa Fe on his motorcycle and was telling us what this culture was like inside of that company. And it was so patriarchal. And so, I mean, his job was trying to get people to listen to each other on a very simple level. That was his job, and it was incredibly difficult.
I bet.
And I thought, you know, I wish they had broken up those companies because a new model really needs to come into being.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think the notion that they were too big to fail is really a fallacy. And in fact, they were too big not to fail, you know. So I'm with you. But I think, you know, it's a curious moment because it's a glass half full and glass half empty moment. And there's no mathematical difference except in how we orient ourselves and in recognizing that there are tremendous opportunities to make change right now.
So the workshop Cultivating Women's Leadership is happening here in northern New Mexico from July 19th to 24th. And for people who are interested in it, they can write an email to women@bioneers.org or call 505-986-0366, extension 129, or just Google Bioneers and you'll find it. And the deadline for applications is the 7th of June. There's some scholarship money available. You're encouraging particularly women of color, but any women to apply to this.
We're encouraging women who really care deeply about making changes in themselves and the world, because really our premise is that in order to change the world, we have to change ourselves first. And so we are very much encouraging women of color, women of any ethnicity, women of any age who are really lit up about making change.
And you've had many ages of women, multiple
generations. Oh, from 19 to 70s.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. So we have, we embrace a wide span, and in fact, we want as much of every kind of diverse women there as we can get.
Nina Simons is co-founder of Bioneers and co-facilitator of the Cultivating Women's Leadership Training. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.